Hi, thanks for tuning in to waterrights.net. This is Don Wright, and this report is the San Luis Delta Mendota Water Authority meeting for August. The San Luis Delta Mendota Water Authority held its Board of Directors meeting on Thursday, August 10th, 2023 at its Los Banos headquarters. The meeting is also held on Zoom, and the transmission began at 9:32 a.m. It's a good start to begin by dialing in the Zoom link well before things kick off. San Luis hired Rebecca Harms as the Deputy General Counsel to help Rebecca Aykroyd, the Authority's General Counsel. Fortunately for all involved, Miss Aykroyd goes by Becca, and that, in my mind at least, should help reduce some of the confusion. Had I tuned in late, I doubt I would have noticed this difference looking through the view provided by a Zoom camera of someone sitting across a big room. I would have thought it was Aykroyd instead of Harms. The meeting. Chairman Cannon and Michael called things to order, and there were 24 folks listening in online at that point. We all saluted the flag of this great nation at the start, as it should be done for any public government meeting. Next, everyone around the table introduced themselves. There were some new faces in the crowd, at least new to me anyway. Under the public comment item, no one spoke up. The consent calendar was passed with nothing pulled save a slight change in the date on one of the minutes. Action items. COO Pablo Arroyave said San Luis Delta Mendota's revised rates for the third time this wonderfully wet year. Arroyave said there are options and thanked everyone for handing in their projected use amounts. The Finance Administrative Committee, along with staff, recommended basing the rates on the 100% allocation. Water Policy Director J. Scott Peterson informed the board the State and Federal Water Contractors Water Authority has had some funds from the Lower Yolo Ranch project to disperse. You'd think accepting money would be something folks would jump on, but there was actually a bit of a debate. And then the board didn't turn it down. Arroyave next told the board about 24 miles of road on the Delta Mendota Canal banks that needs some work. He said Tally Oil will do a chip seal for only $311,000. This money is included in the O&M budget, and Tally Oil has provided reliable support in this area in the past. The board said two thumbs up. Reports. Arroyave introduced Jacob McQuirk, a satrap in the DWR's O&M planning organization. McQuirk spoke about temporary rock barriers in the South Delta gates. These barriers help mitigate effects of pumping. The South Delta is impacted by pumping to the Delta Mendota Canal and the California Aqueduct. The impact is so drastic, the good folks at the South Delta Water Agency sued in 1982. There are now two agricultural barriers and two fish barriers in the Southern Delta. McQuirk showed photos, and the barriers are, they look like rocks just dumped across the channels. Tide and other impacts can flow over them. The project still costs money, and there are complaints about the Bureau not getting engaged, not paying enough. The barrier's okay at best, but like most of the water infrastructure in California, it needs an update. McQuirk said the continued permitting has gotten out of hand to operate these barriers. He said the latest report he had to send to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, this is an annual report, it was more than 40 pages long, and cost a couple of million dollars. Barriers were meant to improve water quality and fish passage in the South Delta. Pumping can cause water levels to drop and stagnation to occur in the water supplies for South Delta farmers. The barriers don't help with this and can be an impediment to migrating salmon. McQuirk said including permanent gates in the barriers would be very helpful. Both water quality and fishery migration could be improved. Sounded like this would even help with pesky aquatic weeds like hyacinth. He said the benefits of improved barriers could also improve relationships between exporters and South Delta interests. And of course, it'll somehow help long-term climate resiliency. Really? Well, he said this would be addressed in combating sea level rise. He said the past predicts the future, but the climate is less reliable these days. Now, all right, but you have to wonder sometimes how many have actually swallowed the Kool-Aid and how many are just not free to express rational views that don't jive with elitist views. McQuirk said there is a unique window of opportunity for federal and state funding that won't add cost to State Water Project and Central Valley Project contractors. In fact, they expect it to lower costs in the long run. And it will cost $184 million to put all of this together in a working order by 2028. He said he is talking about this to San Luis Delta Mendota to get their help in getting the feds involved. He said at this time, DWR doesn't have a partnership with the Bureau on this matter. Arroyave said in 2022, San Luis Delta Mendota almost lost its Yuba transfers, and that would have happened without the current barriers. McQuirk said it is a thin line to make this work without causing permitting violations. It was a good presentation. Director Honest John Varela, asterisk, said it sounded like a good thing to get involved. Director Flying Bill Dietrich asked, if DWR had the magic wand, what would the barriers look like? McQuirk said, South Delta Water Agency General Manager Handsome John Herrick, asterisk, would tell you dredging also needs to be done in the channels. Now, it would be a good time to have a tour of the Delta. McQuirk said the current system, even with these record flows, didn't provide enough water to fully realize the barrier benefits as currently constructed. I corresponded briefly with Herrick after the meeting, and he asked how unimaginable it is that in a year like this, with the record flow, South Delta farmers can't get enough water, even with the Tulare Lake filling up. Yeah, something needs fixing, and it ain't high-speed rail. California's priorities are way off. McQuirk said there is enough funding to do design but not construction. Michael asked if there will be a SCADA system to operate the gates and would it include water quality sensors. McCormick said they've already burned a dumpster of cash on water quality monitoring in the Delta, so there is some room to improve on this system. Did you know a Water Rights audience makes the irrigation decision for more than 4.5 million acres of farmland in California? If you have products and services you want to put in front of this exclusive demographic, get in touch with us. After all, you're listening to this, so are they. Government stuff. Peterson reported on government matters, and as usual, his delivery was world class. I would hire him to read these reports if I could, but he does speak at a fast clip. He said there is a comment period open for ESA regulations that could impact South the Delta operations. There's been a big chunk of work on the waters of the United States. This WOTUS work has yet to show up in the Federal Register. The Army Corps and the EPA are bummed out over losing the Sackett case, and with it some of their ability to boss around the common man and woman, which ought to bring a smile to any American face. As to Congress, the Western Caucus has formed an endangered species work group. And our friend and former NRDC lawyer-slash-congressman Jared Huffman has also asked to join. That'll be fun to watch. Peterson also expects Congress to pass a continuing resolution next month to keep the cash spigot open. What happened to the budget process and spending within the limits? Consultant Bill Ball said he's tracking the appropriation process in Washington. The Senate has marked up its bills, and the House is in the midst of doing so. He said there's a new set of NEPA rules proposed, that's National Environmental Protection Act. One part is to implement reforms that came out of the recent legislation, I think the Build Back Better, that was supposed to lighten some of the load, regulatory load through NEPA. There's also an effort to go beyond just the executive orders and implement the critical race theory, boo, and the Green Enviro Movement wish list, boo. Ball said this could speed up and slow down NEPA at the exact same time. Pretty hard to do that, I would think, but there is no small wonder to me that if Kamala Harris goes down in history as the greatest life insurance policy ever to serve a president, I'm not sure she wouldn't even be better to finish this term. Perhaps her communication skills would help slow things down, the insanity, by casting so much confusing sand in the gears that nothing is done. But that is my opinion and not any of the other people speaking today. Peterson said San Luis Delta Mendota will be working with AQUA, the Association of California Water Agencies, and other organizations like special districts and cities to implement some coalition plans. A survey is going on about this. Now, my red face or Rama, but I didn't know which survey for which coalition he was referring to. Kristen Olson, a consultant, also reported the California legislature is returning to work next week. She expects about 400 bills are left to move through the Assembly and State Senate. I think she said they have to wrap up by September 17th. A new chair of the Ag Committee may take control soon, and she recommended planning for this happening. All bonds, those including water bonds, are on pause at the moment. Governor Gav wants the mental health bond advanced before any others. She doesn't see anything bond-wise taking shape before 2024. There's a legislative tour of the area being set up for October. Executive and other management reports. Exec Director Federico Barajas reminded the board there will be a strategic plan workshop following today's meeting. There will also be a Yuba Water Agency tour next month, and he'd like everyone to welcome them. Arroyave gave his report, saying the Jones plant had to cut back pumping due to unusual problems with the fish screens, and that will require more drawdown at San Luis Reservoir than anticipated. There's a lot of debris from hyacinth and other problems up in that area. Barajas said there are resource issues going on at the fish screens. Arroyave said there will be a Jones plant and fish screen tour coming up. Water report. Liz Kittick of the USBR gave the water report, and we couldn't hear her. Then we could hear her, but she couldn't hear us. But she trooped on anyway. She said the trash at Jones is a problem. There are releases up north and a Hoopa Indian tribal flow, I think she said, about to be released. Shasta is still above 3 million acre feet. Folsom is at 800,000 acre feet. New Melones is as high as is San Luis Reservoir. And San Luis Reservoir is setting records. There is a salinity controls in the Delta until next week. And there's a fall X2 requirement out, but it's less onerous this year than in the past. I'm hearing some drums in the distance calling for a reworking of the X2 calculations. She said the snowpack is gone, but for a few north slopes above 10,000 feet. Other reports. There were no committee reports, but Mike Wade from the California Farm Water Coalition said the newsletter directed to the state legislatures, prepared with the help of the California Water Alliance, is on the topic of conveyance. Last time the topic was on water rights. He said he spoke at a recent Ag Media conference in Palm Springs on water and food supplies. It made him realize just how much food California produces and how much foreign supplied food is consumed here in the United States. The elected officials need to be very aware of this. The regulatory burden of farming in California is prohibitive. There's a study conducted by, I believe, Cal Poly San Luis that shows production costs of inputs such as certain feed, fuel, fertilizer. They've all gone up tremendously, but it pales in comparison to the cost imposed by regulatory increases. Dietrichs reported San Luis Delta Mendota made the Aqua News on water supplies. He said they are bringing in social media influencers to the valley to learn more about agriculture. Peterson gave the board an update saying the 2019 BIOP rules have been on the radar. The water blueprint for the San Joaquin Valley benefits groundwater sustainability agencies, and the GSAs have been invited to contribute to the funding. Letters have gone out. A contribution tier was adopted, and it is extensive. However, I know contributions of any amount are welcome. The next blueprint meeting will be August 14th in Fresno. He said there was some concern about duplicate funding, like when a San Luis Delta Mendota member contributes, and then San Luis Delta Mendota contributes as well. That's a double tax. It's nice to get if you can, but the blueprint is here for us. Peterson said the collaborative action work plan has been provided in the board packet. Board report and closed session. Dietrich added the Aqua election is going on, and if you have any questions, to contact him. Chris White, Executive Director of the Exchange Contractors, will be holding a tour of the area for the Ag Leadership Team. Michael said this has been an excellent effort over the years. He also noted Congressman Adam Schiff toured the area recently as he wants to be a senator. The meeting went into closed session at 11:23 a.m. for 6 cases of anticipated litigation and more than a dozen cases of actual ongoing litigation involving everybody who's anybody and some water purchase wrangling. And that was that. Go be good to yourselves and others. My footnotes, asterisk. I apply this nickname with affection, not intended to mock whatsoever. Asterisk, asterisk, ditto. Asterisk, 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 I am running out of good nicknames. Well, that's it. Please remember the opinions expressed of those of the author and do not necessarily represent any advertisers or third parties. Thank you again for tuning in. Please feel free to give us a ring, give us an email, and God bless.